Welcome, everyone. Delighted you've chosen to be on the call. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us. The first piece is just overall the structure of the call. Our intention is to really emphasize engagement with you and interaction with you. So we have a variety of exercises that we'll have through the session today. We'll have some brief presentations. Our intentions are to keep those relatively short, something certainly no longer than 10 minutes. And we'll get into the meat of the call and then finally end with a checkout at the end of it. Our intention is to engage you, to interact with you. We will be breaking out at times into breakout groups, a chance for you to interact directly with other participants on the call related to something that we're talking about, and also bring those into whole group conversations at times as well. So that's the basic structure of the call there. Marie, would you like to comment on some logistical things here?
Yes, thank you, Greg. Welcome, everyone. What I want to emphasize is that you matter to us and your participation matters to us. So we've structured this first session and all four sessions in a way where you can, if you want, have a high level of participation at your own level. And that's the piece that I wanted to add on to what Greg said. And I look forward to being with you for the next almost 2 hours. In addition to the pieces that Greg shared with you about how this time together is structured today, we added something a little different in terms of a section that will be interactive for you in terms of how you can engage with us. And it'll look something like this. Greg and I are excited to be connecting together because our work really shares a lot of common themes, which is why we're co-facilitating this telecourse together. And we were at a conference in March where we did a session together where we simply shared ideas and commented on each other's ideas and, you know, even asked questions for our own learning and out of our own genuine curiosity about each other's work and perspective on this idea of making workplaces more empathic, more compassionate, and contributing to workplaces in that way. And we were surprised. You know, I was surprised at how many people found that interesting and sort of eavesdropping in on our conversation. And so we do have a section planned that will be 10 minutes or less where we're talking about a particular theme. And in this section, you'll have a chance to respond, sort of listening in on some of our thoughts and thinking between two people who have similar approaches in terms of creating the kinds of workplaces that I'm imagining many of us would like. So I wanted to just make that explicit to let you know that there will be a section where Greg and I will be sort of talking back and forth, and it's completely unscripted, and we don't really know what's going to come up and emerge out of that. So I myself am looking forward to what might unfold there. That's the piece I wanted to share with you.
Thank you, Marie. We'd now like to just take a brief moment so Marie and I can show up in the scope of what we're here to do. We'd like to really capture the essence of how we're showing up here, what our intentions are, what energy are we wanting to connect with you on in this call. Marie, may I invite you to open us up?
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, you know, I was talking with Greg yesterday in preparation, and I was noticing some sense of nervousness, you know, and I looked at that last night to see what was that about. And I have to say that the main reason is that I am so excited and passionate about this work that we're about to talk about how compassion can come alive in organizations and really meet more needs of people. That is, you know, the sole focus of my work for the last 28 years. And I think the nervousness I feel is that I'm not sure that I can fully convey, you know, in its fullness, the levels and the complexities that can make this process so rich and that I'm imagining there's pieces of that we're all interested in. So I wanted to name that. I did find an analogy that I think really says it for me, and I'll give you a brief overview of it, and we'll be discussing it more later. But the idea is that imagine that we're all in a time when we don't know that the earth is round. Okay, so we're living, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago where we have no idea that the world is round. This is how most of us see organizations and the workplaces, whether we volunteer in them or work in them, because we're in them. So we don't have that mile-high view of what it looks like. We can't tell that the place we're working in has many complexities that make the world round. So this is something that I want to say it excites me about what we're going to be doing together is we're going to be looking through many lenses to see a bigger and bigger picture of how it's not just ground level, but higher levels of being able to see what it is that's at play in workplaces and how we can create more choice for people and contribute to people in workplaces and organizations to have not only the kind of workplaces we want, but the world that we want. So that's the piece that I'm excited about. And, you know, I'm excited to connect with Greg and share with him in this. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Marie. One thing I enjoy working with Marie is what she says so closely reflects my own experience of both how I do this work, why it matters to me, and the actual work itself. So I very much could say similar things that Marie just expressed in terms of the work I'm doing. I think I'm particularly excited that Marie and I have not particularly worked together. We've had a few conversations, particularly as we got prepared for this, but I am very excited to explore the things that have been flowing from each of our work, where it intersects, where it overlaps, where there are new things that we can each grow and integrate from. And one of the things I hope is that those things will emerge as we share and present. This is Marie and my first time to actually be presenting to a group, except very briefly at a conference back in March. It's also our first time to do a teleseminar. It's our first time to use this technology. So we have a lot of variables that are new to us. And so I think in that I'm just asking for understanding that our strong intention is to contribute to you, to share some things we found valuable about bringing this work into the workplace, and that we will work through whatever things come up with that intention over and over again. There was a quote, Marie, that you had found that I would love to start with here, just in terms of some energy that to me so closely reflects what each of us do. Would you be willing to share that quote?
Yes, I'd enjoy that. And this is a quote that I found in an email that someone had forwarded me the other day who is in the nonviolent communication community. And it's a quote from Martin Luther King, who, you know, led our civil rights movement here in the U.S. in the 60s. And 70s, he says, power properly understood is nothing but the ability to achieve purpose. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power properly understood is nothing but the ability to achieve purpose. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. And I'd love to hear, Greg, what moves you in that?
Yeah, to me, it really hits on the head, the work here, that I think organizations traditionally have been very strong in exercising their power to get their work done, but it's often been at great expense to the people, both within the organization and outside of it, and at the expense of our environment and other things. And so this brings attention to what Martin Luther King is calling love, or we might call connection, or the things that bring us together as people. And that the fundamental aspect of the work I think we each do is to bring both purpose, to still hold that strongly within an organization or a workplace, but also bring people and the broader aspect of environment, that we want to do a both and. We value both of them. That environment is richest when we are seeing both purpose and valuing human and all life fully in the organizations that we're creating. So with that, just a couple of words. This is the first of four sessions. We are wanting you to get a glimpse within this first session that is essentially a bit of an overview of the work that we'd be doing in the other three sessions. It's also an introduction to the work of people who may know nothing about what NVC is. If you're in an environment, we were wanting to show you in this session how we would talk to you. How would we help you get an experience of what this is at the very early stages of what we're doing? That'll be the first exercise we'll work on in a minute. So this particular session is the overview and introduction. The next session will focus on the intrapersonal, or what I sometimes call the I relationship, your relationship with yourself, and the skills around how you are able to show up in ways that you want within your workplaces. The third session will focus on interpersonal relationships, that is your relationship with other people. This is very often is, where people see problems emerge within organizations or a focal point of where the attention goes is when there's conflict between perhaps coworkers. How do you navigate those conflicts? How do you actually harvest them toward connection? How do you communicate in a way that's likely to lead to connection with people? And then finally, the fourth session will really focus on the systemic and the organizational level of relationships, of needs, things that flow out of that space, which in many ways is the strong quality that I think Marie and I bring to this work, is clarity about that level of needs, of consciousness around those needs, of how that impacts all of these other relationships in a workplace environment. So there'll be threads of each of those in each session, but a real focus, as I described, in sessions 2, 3, and 4. So let me just pause here. The next thing we're going to do is get a check-in. I'd love to harvest some of these reasons why you're here. So I'm curious if a few of you would be willing to share. I'd love to hear from one person initially, and then we'll see who that resonates with in terms of that reason. You'd be willing to share the kind of core reason why you're on this call, something you would share with the group.
Yeah, I'm really more drawn towards in a corporate structure, there's always the assignment, if you will, or the direction from upper management pushing down towards the whole entire organizational structure. And as we practice MVC, we try to connect with the life in others. And having the owner of our establishment or the general manager or the upper management understand compassionate communication is what I'm trying to bring. From a salesperson's point of view, they're looking at it primarily from the point of view of profits. And I'm looking more point of view of relationship building. So practicing MVC and sharing my needs for thorough communications and understanding and empathy, and having them appreciate that, in addition to keeping my job so that I still do what I need to do to sustain a certain level of what they want in terms of a profitable organization.
So if I were just to summarize that, it sounds to me like in terms of your reason to be on the call is looking for meaningful ways to connect, particularly with upper management, about the value that you're experiencing with NVC in the organization. And to do that in a way that you have a high degree of confidence that it'll be seen as value, not a risk to your employment there. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I appreciate the reflection.
All right, thank you. I'd love to hear if you have something different to offer. I think I'd love to get at least one more just while you're on the call here. One other person that is raising their hands.
For me, I have always really valued communication. I've been familiar with NVC, although I have not participated in training. One of my very good friends has been involved in the community for many years. And I also really am intrigued by the landscape of organizations, many different kinds of organizations. So I'm really curious and interested and anxious to gather more information about the connections and the structure of MVC and the tools that allows one to bring into organizations to assist them in functioning better.
Okay, so am I hearing that sort of in general, that you're interested in MVC as a process, as a tool that can bring value into an organization, and that you want a greater understanding of what that is and how that can happen?
Yes, and I'm particularly interested in the piece also that Marie has been working with the organizational communication and how those two come together.
Okay, when you say organizational communication, you're talking how people talk to one another in the organization? Is that when you're saying organizational communication?
I'm not an expert in the area, but in my mind, it has to do with how organizations function, and communication can be direct, communication can be indirect, and it's just the modes by which information and interactions function within organizations.
It sounds like it's the piece about how NVC is the same or different in organizations versus, say, in your interpersonal relationship with your friends, for example. So Is that getting at some of that?
Sure, and even some of the places where it's similar. You know, just clarifying and strengthening awareness and understanding about how to utilize the tools to effectively communicate better.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for doing that. It helps us know why you're on the call so that we can work with that as we are picking our examples and our focal points. So at this point, we'd love to go into an exercise with you. It's an exercise that you would find in Marie's book, The Empathy Factor, which is really a focal point of what this series of sessions is about. The book has just been published. I'm excited to see it, that we have some very tangible and effective, you know, information available to all through this book. But I'd like to bring your attention to the exercise within the book that's called the lunch date exercise. I first saw this in Marie's book when I was reviewing an early copy of that, and I was quite excited seeing that exercise and immediately shared it with some people in the workplace I knew and was delighted to see how they received it. So I find it to be a very simple exercise that highlights some of these hard-to-see places, the seeing the world is round when you're used to seeing the world flat. So I see great value in this. Those of you who are familiar with NBC, I see this as an exercise as a way of getting into the workplace, of communicating what it is in a way that is pretty straightforward for people in a business environment to understand. So with that, Marie, may I open it to you so we can get started on this exercise?
Yeah, thank you. And I want to say, just so we're all on the same page for some people who may be very new to nonviolent communication, that my practice, my inner practice as a person and my outer practice as a consultant completely shifted when I met Marshall Rosenberg about 7 years ago and I started learning about nonviolent communication. My background is in organizational communication, and that's the work I've been doing since the early 80s. And I was excited because what I heard Marshall describe was some key fundamental concepts that we're going to be touching on in the lunch date exercise that really changed completely the way that I saw my work and participating in organizations as well as working as a consultant to organizations. So I wanted to name that as my experience of how that is. I want to tell you the lunch date exercise, we're going to lead into that with some directions in a minute. And I love what you said, Greg, because this exercise came out of my frustration in sharing NVC with the clients that I was working with. I saw that it could be powerful and valuable for them. And a few times I tried, you know, doing something that was more standard, maybe, you know, actually explaining the components, and I could see that it was a little bit flat for them. So I decided to try this lunch date exercise, and this exercise was formed in the middle of a session I had with a client, a team of about 15 people. And so it has an aliveness in it to me because it actually came from the people in the group in terms of, you know, how this exercise has evolved. So I wanted to give you that background, and we're going to have you for about 10 minutes work on the lunch date exercise. There was a handout that you'll want for this exercise, and Greg and I are guessing that at least one of you in your breakout sessions will have the handout called Exercise 1, Session 1, Lunch Date with Bob. The directions are pretty simple. Basically, the setup to this exercise is imagine that you have a business luncheon with Bob. So you've talked to Bob, you called Bob, here's the situation. And Bob said, sure, 12 p.m. lunch is okay at Toby's Grill. You know, I'll meet you there. That's the setup to the situation. Now you're at Toby's Grill, and it is 12:25 p.m. You're sitting there alone. You don't see Bob, and there are no messages from Bob that you're aware of. So imagine that you're waiting for Bob, and you're in this situation. That's the first column. In the second column, we've started a list of what some possible feelings might be for you given that situation. So one common one that I usually hear right away in this exercise is that you might be feeling irritated and annoyed. You know, you've been waiting, 25 minutes have gone by. And on the far right, we have another column that we'd like you to fill out, which is called My Thoughts. So when you're feeling irritated and annoyed, what thoughts might you be telling yourself? And one of the thoughts that sometimes comes up in the groups is that you might be thinking, Bob is rude. Bob is keeping me waiting. So that's the thought that might go with the feelings of being irritated or annoyed. So this exercise is to use two parts of the handouts. One is the actual lunch date with Bob exercise, and the other one is the feelings list. So take a look at the feelings list. This is a basic list of feelings of people in workplaces. It's taken, you know, Marshall Rosenberg's initial list and made it workplace friendly. So things that we might be feeling in a workplace or in a team setting or in organizations. So it's a list that's workplace ready. So what we'd invite you to do in the breakout session is to just go through the lunch date exercise with Bob, talk among yourselves, and think of four or five more feelings and four or five more thoughts that would accompany those feelings. As you do this exercise, we'd encourage you to assign roles. A timekeeper would be helpful. You'll have about 10 minutes. A timekeeper, that's one role. A note taker, someone who's tracking what you're writing on your sheets. And then also someone to possibly keep you on task. So this is a third role. As your group works together, you may want to have someone actually making sure that you're completing the exercise in a way that is working for the group and in the way that we've requested.
Let's go ahead and take clarifying questions now. We want to be sure the exercise is clear and before we go into the breakout sessions. Anyone have a question of clarity before you, what it is this exercise is asking of you? All right, I see one hand up.
I would like to know what the outcome of this is. What are the products that we're supposed to end up with?
That is what we're hoping you will discover in an interactive way. So my invitation to you is to participate in the exercise, and then when we come back, we're going to harvest some of the key principle out of this exercise.
Okay.
Thanks for your willingness. Any other clarifying questions?
Could you repeat the exercise? Are we going to do it in a role play or just note for ourselves the things you are thinking and feeling?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your question. My invitation to you is to use the feelings list and imagine what you or someone else might be feeling and what thoughts might accompany those feelings. So it can be you or you can imagine what someone else might be thinking and feeling.
So you are exploring with each other all the possibilities?
Yes, as many possibilities. I suggest four or five to see what comes out of your imagining being in this situation.
And what does the time tracker do?
So the timekeeper's role will be to just make sure that each may be having a turn and then also that you'll have sufficient time for people to be heard.
Okay, I got it.
Thank you for your clarifying question. The key principle will be harvested after the exercise. Okay.
Let's have groups of six this time. So this exercise gives you a chance for a little group dynamics to choose these three roles and then come up with the exercise feelings and thoughts. Let's do it.
Please begin.
Okay. I'd like to harvest this a little bit just in the large group to see what kinds of things you might have populated in your my feelings column and my thoughts columns. So raise your hand if you have something that's a different flavor than irritated or annoyed. So maybe not angry, which is sort of similar, but a different flavor of feeling from irritated, annoyed that you'd like to share with the group.
Yeah, we had curiosity as the feeling, and the thought is, I'm curious, wondering what happened.
Just curious, wondering what happened. Thank you. Did someone have something different than some form of irritation, annoyance, anger, and curiosity? Something different than that?
Unsure?
The feeling was unsure?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's the thought that you might be thinking if you're feeling unsure?
Maybe I had the wrong time, and I don't know what's going on, and maybe I have the wrong day, maybe I did not make the appointment well.
Thank you. Thank you. So now we have some form of irritation, curiosity, uncertainty, perhaps a confusion. Does someone have something different than those three?
Our initial one was worried.
Worry.
We're feeling worried, and the thought would be maybe there was a personal or family emergency.
Okay, thank you. Personal or family emergency. I appreciate that. Does anyone have something completely different? Did anyone have, these are feelings that I would consider, for the most part, unpleasant, maybe curiosity is neutral, but did anyone come up with any feelings that were pleasant that Bob wasn't sitting there with you at lunch? So I see a bunch of hands.
So I had relief and appreciation that I, for the time, the unexpected time to catch up on some organizational thinking.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. This is one that can come up in the groups that I've conducted this exercise with. And so I'm satisfied that we have covered a spectrum of feelings and the thoughts that are accompanying them. And now I'd like to ask the whole group, what are you noticing about the relationship between the situation and the feelings and thoughts? Is there someone who's noticing something about the relationship between the feelings that we just talked about and the situation that you'd be willing to share with the group?
So we had a couple. One was, our thoughts determine the emotions that we're experiencing.
Yeah, so a relationship between thoughts and your feelings, yes.
And then the other one was is that it's not the situation that dictates the feelings, it's the individual, because there were so many different responses to the same situation. So
yes.
Diversity is inherent and is okay.
Yes, it's not the situation that's the cause of the feelings. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. Okay, so I loved hearing what Vivian said, and Greg and I are going to talk a little bit about why we think this is the key principle number one to workplaces, to creating more productivity as well as shared purpose success, as well as on the individual level of individuals feeling more productive and also having more autonomy and authority within their own choices, within their teams or within organizations. This piece is huge for me when I first started understanding it. And in summary, what we can say is that our feelings are not caused by the external situations, in this case, Bob not being with us for lunch. And it seems that they're related to thoughts, what we're thinking. So this middle column here is something that Greg and I want to speak about for a few minutes, because this is the key fundamental principle of nonviolent communication and looking at how to create workplaces where people thrive. And this is the idea that the cause of our feelings are more closely related to our own needs. That's the other sheet that we've accompanied for you with the feelings list. And right now, what I'd like to do is ask you to guess at what needs you think might be met or unmet with some of the feelings that we had discussed earlier. So, for example, in the first one, what needs might you guess someone would be having unmet if they're feeling irritated or annoyed? So if you just have a guess, we'll do a few of these, and then we'll review the key principle again. So what need might you be guessing is unmet if you're feeling annoyed or irritated?
Yeah, it'd be respect, mutuality. Understanding.
Yes, respect, mutuality, understanding. Thank you. Okay, so let's take a look at another one. Worry. What needs might be unmet with worry?
I was worried about someone, my need for their well-being or my interest in their well-being.
Okay, so well-being, possibly safety, something like this? Okay. So this is a piece that I'd love Greg to expand on in terms of the key principle number one.
Good, thank you, Marie. It's essentially what we heard earlier from the connection between the situation and then feelings and thoughts that we were hearing from. So that the key principle is that there's several ways of expressing this, but one, we are not responsible for the feelings of other people, and they are not responsible for the feelings that we have, which is a very different principle than if we've been raised in a guilt-driven culture that wants us to believe that we are responsible for the feelings of other people and that they are responsible for our feelings. So that this process of being clear that my feelings arise from something going on inside of me, either my thoughts or my needs, and they're highly related. In fact, our thoughts give us clues to what needs are alive in us to connect with. So principle number one, that we are not responsible for the feelings of others, and they are not responsible for our feelings. So this is one of those pieces that are, again, this seeing a spherical world when we live in a flat land, that's very counter to probably the way we're used to seeing things. It takes time for that to actually move into a place that we actually live that kind of way of seeing people and seeing ourselves. One of the more challenging principles within NVC. But wonderful things happen in the workplace, actually any place where this is true, where we begin to really embody the sense that I'm not responsible for whatever's going on in that other person. And I can then perhaps be curious about what is going on in them and what is it that they need, what is it that they value that is stimulating whatever I see is happening. Even if that is anger with a finger pointed directly at me, I'm still not the cause of that anger. It might be the stimulus. It might be because I arrived later than we had planned at lunch, but I am not the cause of their anger.
Yes, so the implications for the workplace and the reason why we consider this a key principle that we'll be covering throughout each session and really unpacking more is because the workplace is an incubator of potential reactions, actions, and reactions. So when we had some question earlier about why you were on this call, people were talking about how they want to bring possibly NVC into the workplace. And one of the reasons is for more shared understanding, more collaboration. This premise is a key foundation in my mind to collaboration, to two things. Teams that are more effective together, because now you and I have a different kind of relationship than just I'm going to react to whatever situation is happening on our team. I can have more choice about being responsible for understanding why I'm having these feelings, that it has more to do with my needs and my thoughts than about what you just did or said. And this is a huge concept for teams. It liberates us to have more choice and authority over what's happening inside us. Greg and I like to think of it as becoming leaders of our own mind when we have needs-based consciousness. The second thing that happens, quite frankly, is I think people who can embody this and practice this are just generally happier and more content in the workplace for the same reason, that they have some authority and understanding about what is happening inside of them, that things are not being done to them in terms of their own feelings, but instead that they're being pointed towards needs of theirs that might be really important for them to look at that are being met or unmet. And this being a key principle, I would enjoy it if people are resonating with this or finding it of value if you would press 5 if that's what's happening for you. So yeah, we've got more than half the room acknowledging that there's some resonance or you're liking what we're hearing. And I'm wondering, Greg, it's such a big principle. I'm wondering how you feel and think about just asking for one or two people to share why they have resonance with this.
Yeah, I love that idea. Particularly in a workplace setting, how you see this as a value.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just thinking back of myself working in organizations, I just picture and imagine a great relaxation. Just a great relaxation in relation to the people that I'm with, the coworkers, the colleagues, the bosses, and even the clients. Just in knowing that and being able to relax, that I'm not causing their anger, and having a tool to decipher and to read what is going on if there is anger directed at me, and being able to deal with it differently and more fruitfully in a way that brings connections and brings solutions. So quite exciting to sense and get an idea of how that would transform the way of how you would be together when there is more than one or many people, more and more people who sort of have an idea of that and try to embody that.
Thank you, Jürgen. Let's see, who else have we not heard from?
I remember when I was working in organizations how frustrating it was to be blamed for causing people certain experiences and just how triggering that was. So I'm imagining that the relief in knowing that people are taking responsibility for their emotional responses.
So you're imagining how different it might have been for you on those teams had this consciousness or awareness been shared.
Yes, I think it would have been a completely different work experience, and it would have been much more inspiring for me and most likely more creatively stimulating, because there would have been more energy directed to creative collaboration rather than backbiting and trying to figure out, you know, how people are being accused of different things. And actually a lot of energy was going into self-protection rather than creation.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm really grateful that you've brought this up, because in the Empathy Factor business book, you know, I was excited to share a number of pieces of organizational research that really point to exactly what you said, that both in terms of work teams and people who lead work teams, that an amount of energy goes into doing stuff that's other than being productive when we have this dynamic at play where we're thinking we're responsible for each other's feelings, or that other people are, quote unquote, making us feel a certain way. So I'm really grateful that you shared that. Greg, was there another piece before we talk about the needs list?
Well, I'll just comment that cognitively wrapping around this principle is one aspect of learning it. And I'm guessing there's probably people on the call that don't quite believe that in terms of not being responsible for other people's feelings. So that's one level, but it is actually a much more deeper, significant level when not only do we believe it cognitively, but we actually make choices from that place. We actually live it, embody it. And that is one of the core developments that NVC invites us into, and it's the theme of our next session, session two, about our intrapersonal development using these tools. How we show up differently in the workplace is really focused on this single principle here.
Thank you, Greg, for elaborating on that. Greg and I want to make sure that in this session we're leaving you with some tools. So one of the tools is this basic list of needs. And I want to echo what Greg said, you know, guessing what someone is feeling and what needs might be connected to those feelings is simple. It's a simple idea. In practice, it can be challenging because we've been habituated, many of us, some of us not, but many of us have been habituated to a different way of thinking. And so, you know, this is a piece that I wanted to say about NVC that I found so valuable for myself, is that actually doing the practice is where the value lives in, rather than understanding the concept. You know, and this is something that I've really come to value in my own inner practice, and that I invite you to explore for yourselves at a deeper level, even if you're already practicing this, because for me, it's endless. Until we arrive at a place where nothing triggers us, there will be an endless opportunity of connecting more with our own needs and the feelings and needs of others. So this list is one of the tools we want to leave you with, and I want to say something about the list for your own information. When Marshall Rosenberg developed his list that's in his book, Nonviolent Communication, The Language of Life, it was based on a Chilean economist and environmentalist list of basic human needs. And these are universal human needs that apply to everyone. So they're distinguished from wants and desires and wishes. These are universal because they apply to every person. And this Chilean economist was Manfred Max Neef, and he's referenced in the book. What's interesting to me is he was also an environmentalist, so he was already taking a systems view of how people fit into the world, not just a view of human psychology itself. And in our work, we've adapted this list, to reflect some of the organizational literature and research that talks about what needs are really critical for high-performing work teams. So there's a couple of references in The Empathy Factor where this research comes from, mostly from Kimball Fisher's work, Leading Self-Directed Work Teams. But the point I want to make here is that, you know, for us, the list has some thought behind it. And in fact, it took us about 4 or 5 years to really evolve it to this stage. And when we've used it with our clients, a couple things have happened. One is that they enjoy that a needs list sort of matches some of the words that they use in their own workplace. So people earlier on the call had asked, how do we bring NVC into the workplace, you know, in a way that works for people in an organizational setting? And this is one way to have a needs list and a needs language that matches what people might be already accustomed to in the workplace. For example, most people don't talk about the need for autonomy in the workplace. It might sound scary if you're, you know, a team member and your boss hears, you know, I have a need for autonomy, you know. And Greg made a funny comment the other day, something like your boss could say, well, you can autonomy your way into another organization, you know. So that's not a word people are used to hearing. So we call that authority, and we group that under authority and empowerment. These are some words that might be more familiar to people in the workplace. And that's something that we have found very successful. So here's another piece I wanted to share about the needs list. I never underestimate the power of helping people connect with needs just by even looking at a list like this. I've worked with a group of nurses at a healthcare setting, and one of them had never even thought about her needs or that she had needs. So she looked at the needs list and she was in tears, because she was saying, oh my goodness, this need is unmet and that need and that. And by, you know, 3 minutes into it, she was realizing how many of her needs were unmet, and she was very touched and moved by this. And this for me is the beginning of needs-based consciousness, you know, needs-based awareness. So I wanted to share that as far as my experience with needs and this needs list. You know, Greg and I hope that it's a value to you because it has some organizational research that's sort of embedded in it, in the way it's organized and some of the wording around it. That's the piece I wanted to share, Greg.
Wonderful.
I think you had a piece.
Well, I especially enjoy, Marie, just your background in organizational development, that you are tying this work into an extension of people who are seen as leaders in the business world. So I think that's one of the ways we make this work more meaningful and understandable to the people in the workplace, is by tying it into frameworks and structures and extensions of those frameworks and structures that people are already familiar with. I see that as a great gift that you are bringing here, Marie.
I'm grateful for that. And I'm wondering, too, if people are willing, this piece about the needs list that we just discussed and the primacy of putting needs out into the workplace. I'm wondering if you could show me and Greg, just by pressing 5, if that has some resonance for you or if you like that idea. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we see hands going up.
Well, I just see about 40% of the hands raised in terms of resonating with needs, you know, as being a meaningful, bringing needs into the workplace, being, you know, a meaningful aspect of what's desired. All right, so Marie, I'm a little torn here, seeing our time and what we have slated and wanting to make some choices around that.
Yes, I would love to just cover the three levels of communication, the remaining handout that the group has. Wondering what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, I like that. So I think in terms of this exercise of the lunch with Bob, the date with Bob, I think we can draw that to an end and then move into the three levels.
So you have another handout called the three levels of communication, which for me and Greg also means three levels of connection. And connection is a word that is often used in parallel with empathy. So three levels of connection, three levels of empathy, three levels of awareness about needs. These are all at play at three different levels. And the levels that are on this chart that we're going to be talking about in sessions 2 and 3 and 4 are now how do you bring this into three different levels. So the first level, or one level, is what's happening inside of me, intrapersonal, the level of I, the level of me. The second is interpersonal, what goes on between people. And then the third is organizational, how is the entire team or organization connecting with others, like customers. And that's the piece that's also tied into the work of what happens in organizations that's different than just an interpersonal relationship we'd have among friends, is that the piece of work that is added in the Empathy Factor business book is the idea that teams and organizations have also universal organizational needs. And by this, what we mean is that because the organization is not a person and it has no voice, what that means is it's a place where the shared reality of the people in the organization can come together about their shared purpose. And again, the organizational research is when you break it up into this idea of needs, of organizations and teams actually having needs, is very compelling to me that there's different universal team or organizational needs. Needs, for example, like identity, life-affirming purpose. That's one I'm especially excited about. Life-affirming purpose, to me, helping groups of people and teams and organizations connect to how they serve life really will help create more of the world that meets more needs. So these are two of the six that I've identified as universal organizational or team needs, and that's what we'll be talking about throughout each of the next three sessions in terms of how does that color our intrapersonal and interpersonal levels of awareness and activity in teams and organizations? So that's the piece there about how they all hang together. And I'm really appreciating, I just looked up now at the board and seeing, you know, about 40% of the hands with 5. So I'm appreciating the feedback you are giving on this topic. And Greg, where would we like to go now? I mean, would we like to hear from some of these as a way of beginning to come to check out?
I think so. This last piece is really foundational to everything that we're about to do. I just want to say, in a workplace environment, most of the focus is on interpersonal. You know, that we see there are problem people. You know, George is a problem employee, you know, we hear in an organization. And what it really means is I've not found a successful way to have this relationship with George that is effective in terms of creating the working relationship I want. So we're really going to focus on that it may all show up in the interpersonal, but it is greatly impacted by the organizational needs, the organizational relationships, the roles that result from that, as well as the intrapersonal, how we show up. Are we taking responsibility for our own feelings, for instance, in these relationships? So I find it, you know, really key in terms of organizational work to bring in all three elements throughout a development and understanding of what's going on in our organizations.
Yes, and I want to say something, you know, to really drive this point home that Greg is making. That's the focus of how he and I work when we think about tools like nonviolent communication and helping people become more needs aware. To me, that's the key, you know, needs awareness, both yours and mine, and the organization. So there's the three levels, mine, you and me, between you and me, and what's happening in our system. The way we know this is true is that you've probably had experience with taking a group of people who get along really well. You know, they get along really well, and they have, there's camaraderie and easy collaboration, and they now are placed into a system or on a team that is not supporting them. Very quickly, you'll see that these people who were liking each other and working easily together will start to have conflicts. So the idea here is taking people who get along and putting them into a system that isn't supporting them will create interpersonal conflicts. And Dr. W. Edwards Deming, who is the father of quality management, one of the things I loved about his work, he said that the vast majority of interpersonal conflicts in organizations are not people issues, but systems issues. And again, this turns upside down on its head everything that we might have been habituated to thinking about what's going on our team or in our organizations. We also know the opposite is true, that you could take people who don't get along very well and maybe wouldn't even enjoy each other at a dinner party and place them into a system that's very supportive in terms of the way information flows, resources flows, clarity of roles and responsibilities, decision-making processes. These are systems and structural things that we're going to be talking about in each of the next three sessions. And when those are functioning in a way that's supporting the needs of people, people who really don't like each other will function very well together and be very productive in achieving a shared purpose. So these two key principles we talked about, the needs-based awareness and this one, the idea that things are happening at all three levels all the time, are really essential foundational pieces to the rest of the way we'll be exploring and taking a look at how to create workplaces through empathic connection where people thrive and where business goals are achieved as well. That's the piece that's really exciting. Is it's not the organizational research doesn't just say that, okay, you all get along now and now we'll be successful. There's profound success that happens when this kind of empathic connection happens between people on a team. And that's the piece that I wanted to add as we move towards our checkout. So what's your thoughts, Greg, about checking out?
Well, I think I'd like to get some feedback, probably in the form of some polls here. And so I'd like to initiate the first sort of question I'd love for you to consider here is, in what you've been hearing Marie and I talk about, that is this level of needs awareness of the responsibility for feelings, of self-responsibility for my own feelings, everything you've heard us talk about, I'm wondering, what is the level to which you see that these things already exist in your workplaces? Are you already seeing some of these aspects in your workplace? And so just to hold, if you said, if a level one was not at all, that you're seeing none of this sort of collaboration, of needs awareness, of the sort of organizational structures that support needs. So on one end it would be a one, and on the other end would be a five, is our workplaces are already there and beyond what you're hearing Marie and I talk about. So on a scale of one to five, how would you describe what's going on in your existing workplaces right now?
So we see the polling coming in.
Again, the question is, what do your workplaces look like right now in terms of the sort of things Marie and I have been describing? All right, so the feedback is the majority is at the lower end of the scale, so there's about 21% ones, 21% twos, 13% threes, 5% fours, and 2% fives. I'm really excited to see that there's a five there. Beautiful. So we've already got some organizations that are living in this sort of way. All right, thank you for that. Poll number two is, when you consider what we've been talking about and imagine applying it into your workplace, how realistic do you believe that is? One now is this: what you're describing, it sounds wonderful, but it wouldn't work in my workplace. So it wouldn't work at all is a one. To five would be, the people in my workplace are ready for this. We can't get it fast enough. So on a 1 to 5 scale, how likely do you think the workplace is to embrace what it is that we've been talking about? 1 being not likely at all, wouldn't work in my workplace. 5, people are eager for this kind of change. Now, this is a considerably more even distribution. I like it. So it's 10% not at all, and then 13% at a 2, 18% at a level 3, that's the highest level, and then at a level 4 is 14%, and then finally at a 5, your workplace being ready for the fullness of what this is, there's 5% there. So almost sort of a bell curve that's a little bit shifted to the left here. So that's the physics part of me coming out.
Yeah, and you know, the piece I want to add to this, Greg, is that there's two things about NVC that I love, the needs-based consciousness and the piece we will talk about more next week and session 3, making requests to meet more needs. So there's, you know, empathically listening to someone as well as the honest expression of what's going on for us, what's alive in us is one of the ways I like to say it. And one of the main things that we want to achieve in the telecourse is to give you practical tools, like a decision-making spectrum, something that makes more explicit, something that you can walk into a meeting and do that isn't necessarily about someone learning NVC, but they'll be living it. So these are some of the tools that we want to share in subsequent sessions, you know, that we think really create a structure of empathy, compassion, and connection without you even having to say it. It's just happening in the way that certain structures can be set up. And this, to me, is another big commonality that, Greg, you and I share, and that I think we're excited to show other people, that you can't explicitly teach NVC. That's one way, for sure. But the other way is to actually start bringing into meetings, meetings you run or you're even a part of, or with the clients you might work with if you're a consultant, and just bringing in tools that are inherently needs-based and participatory-based in that way, and they'll be already living the principles of NVC without necessarily knowing it, that that's what they're doing. And then to actually name these processes, or name the process of NVC, or the work that I do called Integrated Clarity, which is about the organizational, universal organizational needs, becomes much easier. It's sort of working from the results backwards to naming it, rather than trying to teach NVC and then hoping they implement it. So this is something that I also wanted to share that's, you know, exciting for me, and we hope will be of value for some of you.
I know one of the sort of way of holding, bringing this work into organizations for me is that it's a combination of skills, structures, and consciousness, and that we're wanting to work in all three areas. And I'm very much in agreement with Marie that one of the more powerful ways of bringing it in is through the structures that hold needs. You don't have to talk about needs. You don't have to talk about NVC. You can just implement the structures. Okay, so we're in the last minutes of our call. I'd like to harvest one more poll from you, and it really is about your totality of your experience on this call. And I would just ask you to reflect on the value you've received by participating on the call, of making the choice to be here, and the interactions and the expressions that you've heard on the call. I'd just like you to hold, how valuable has your experience been in terms of meeting your needs for learning, for understanding, whatever they may have been that you brought into this call? And I'd love to see this poll on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being this was a complete waste of time, I regret my choice, I would have rather been anywhere else but on this call, and 5 being that it met and even exceeded some of your expectations of what this call might be. So on a 1 to 5 scale, if you could check in yourself and see what was the value of this experience to me. All right, thank you all for sharing that. There are no ones. I'm guessing the ones are no longer on the call. There's 8% at a 2 level, 20% at a 3 level, 31 at a 4, and 14 at a 5. Thank you for sharing those.
In closing, I would love to hear 30 seconds or less from maybe one or two people about what they did receive that was of value, just so that, you know, Greg and I can have some sense of what you enjoyed. And is there anyone who'd be willing to share something that they did enjoy or that was of value for them? We would enjoy hearing that as a way to close.
I really enjoyed the two exercises that we did and interacting with the other people. I found their feedback and their comments and their contributions very useful, and it gave me a sense of a dynamism, you know, which listening to you is, what do we say, passive or receptive, but it's you know, I'm sitting here, and then interacting in the group I found really useful.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Greg.
We would love to see you again at our upcoming call, sessions 2, 3, and 4, and share more with you. I'm, if anything, just touched with, you know, how skimming the surface is so unsatisfactory, and a desire to go deeper and more meaningfully with you in terms of understanding how this work shows up in organizations. So I'm inviting you and would love to see you at our future sessions that we're doing here. Anything, Marie, that you want to express?
Gratitude for us having shared interest in a topic that is meaningful to each of us. Thank you.
Excellent.
Well, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, enjoy your day or night.